السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. How are you all doing? Alhamdulillah. What is the purpose of fasting? Is it to keep us hungry and thirsty? Then what is it? Draw closer to Allah, have your sins forgiven. This is an act of worship which is done in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in surrender to Him. And the objective of fasting shouldn't just be to deprive yourself of food and drink. It's much more than that. Right? Like you said, it is to draw closer to Allah. So when you were doing sahur this morning, what was your intention? Okay, to fast for the sake of Allah. Because remember that when we do a good deed, we have to expect reward from Allah also. Imanan wa ihtisaban. Do with iman, with faith in Allah, and also with ihtisab, expecting reward from Allah alone. And the fast is not just an exercise of abstaining from food and drink. Because remember, the Prophet ﷺ also said that the one who does not refrain from ill speech and lying and such things while fasting, then Allah has no need of him being hungry and thirsty. So keep a check on your tongue, not just what is going in the mouth, but what is coming out as well. Okay? Inshallah. And likewise, just as we are concerned about inside, meaning our stomach, okay, we also need to be concerned about what's inside, meaning our heart and mind. Because there are levels of fasting. One level is of just refraining from food and drink. And then there's a higher level also of refraining from sins. So that is something that inshallah we should focus on. Alright, let's begin juz number 12. نَحْمَدُهُ وَنُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ الْكَرِيمِ أَمَّا بَعْدْ فَأَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام را كتاب أحكمت آياته ثم فصلت من لدن حكيم خبير ألا تعبدوا إلا الله إنني لكم منه نذير وبشير وأن استغفروا ربكم ثم توبوا إليه يمتعكم متاعا حسنا إلى أجل مسمى ويؤتي كل ذي فضل فضله وإن تولوا فإني أخاف عليكم عذاب يوم كبير إلى الله مرجعكم وهو على كل شيء قدير ألا إنهم يثنون صدورهم ليستخفوا منه ألا حين يستغشون ثيابهم يعلم ما يسرون وما يعلنون إنه عليم بذات الصدور وما من دابة في الأرض إلا على الله رزقها ويعلم مستقرها ومستودعها كل في كتاب مبين
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. Alif Lam Ra. Kitabun uhkimat ayatuhu, thumma fussilat min ladun hakimin khabir. Alif Lam Ra. This is a book whose verses are perfected and then presented in detail from one who is wise and acquainted. Through a messenger saying, do not worship except Allah. Indeed, I am to you from Him a warner and a bringer of good tidings. And saying, seek forgiveness of your Lord and repent to Him, and He will let you enjoy a good provision for a specified term and give every doer of favor His favor. But if you turn away, then indeed I fear for you the punishment of a great day. وَأَنِ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ. Seek forgiveness from your Lord. Hasan al-Basri, he once hired a porter. And he heard him saying the entire length of the journey, Alhamdulillah and Astaghfirullah. So Hasan al-Basri, eventually he asked him that what is the matter with you? How come you keep saying either Alhamdulillah or Astaghfirullah? Don't you say anything else? So he said that I have learned half of the Qur'an. And I have come to learn that the servant is between two matters. Either he is enjoying a blessing that has come to him from Allah, and for that, gratitude is due. And this is why I say, Alhamdulillah. Or the servant is in the state of having disobeyed his Lord, for which istighfar is due. And so, I say, Astaghfirullah. So Hasan al-Basri, he said to himself, this porter is more sensible than you. Because this is the reality, that either we are enjoying the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for which all the time we need to be grateful to Him. So Alhamdulillah. Or we have done something wrong for which we need to beg forgiveness from Him. So Astaghfirullah. And when a person seeks forgiveness from Allah, then what happens? يُمَتِّعْكُمْ مَتَاعًا حَسَنًا إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. Then Allah will let you enjoy a good provision for a specified term. And give every doer of favor His favor. Meaning for istighfar, a person receives benefits even in this life. To Allah is your return, and He is over all things competent. Unquestionably, they, the disbelievers, turn away their breasts to hide themselves from Him. They turn away in order to hide themselves from Him, meaning from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in order to not listen to Him. When He speaks to them, when He recites the Qur'an to them, what is the reaction of some people? They turn away, so that they don't even have to listen to what He's telling them. Unquestionably, even when they cover themselves in their clothing, Allah knows what they conceal and what they declare. Indeed, He is knowing of that which is within the hearts of people. So the fact is that even if a person hides from another, he can never ever hide from Allah. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. And there is no creature on earth, but that upon Allah is its provision. وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا. And He knows its place of dwelling and its place of storage. كُلٌّ فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. All is in a clear register. Every creature, Allah is the one who provides for it. Just think about the uncountable makhluq, the uncountable creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that just lives on this earth. If we tried counting the bugs which are in our house even, we would not be able to do that. But every single creature, every bird that flies, every ant that crawls, every sheep, every goat, every single animal, who is its provider? Every squirrel that runs back and forth, who is its provider? Allah is its provider. And what is amazing is that each creature has its own unique needs, has its own unique food. If you give the food of a cat to a squirrel, it'll never eat it. But what do we see? That Allah provides for every single creation. No matter where in this world it lives, Allah provides for every single creation. And He knows its place of dwelling and also its place of storage. Meaning Allah knows where each creature lives while it is alive, where its unique address is. And when it moves from one location to the other also, when it migrates from one place to the other also, then Allah still knows where its place of abode is. Because we see that people move from one home to another. Even animals, they move. Birds, they move. They shift constantly. They're constantly migrating. And who knows where exactly every creature is? Allah knows. And He also knows its place of storage, meaning where every creature dies, and where its body ends up, and where it decays, and where the bones end up. Allah knows about the end of every single creature. And He doesn't just know about it, but كُلٌّ فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. It is all recorded. Where? In a clear register. And what is His clear register? The Lawhul Mahfuz. Imagine, Allah knows about it, and He has also had every detail of this universe recorded with Himself. What we learn in this ayah is about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge, His complete and comprehensive knowledge, that there is nothing except that Allah is aware of it. He is the one who knows where each creature is going, where its food lies. He is the one who has provided for it its provision. And then He has also given its ability to go and find its provision and benefit from it. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said that if you relied upon Allah like the creation relies, then you would be like the birds who go out of their homes empty stomach every morning. And then what happens when they return? They are full-bellied. The Prophet ﷺ also said that were the son of Adam run from his provision the way he runs from death. Do people hide from death? Do people try to escape death? Avoid death? Yes, all the time. We're trying to avoid death. So if the son of Adam were to run from his provision, from his money, from his food, the way he runs from death, his provision would reach him just as death will reach him. Meaning there is no avoiding the provision that Allah has decreed for His servants. And it is He who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and His throne had been upon water. Meaning even before Allah created the sky and the earth, what existed? Water. And what was above this water? Allah's throne. Abdullah ibn Amr, he said that Allah made above the seventh sky water, and above it is the throne. Now how is that water there? How deep is that water? What kind of water is it? Allahu A'lam. But what we learn from the Quran and from the Sunnah is that there was water that existed even before the sky and the earth were brought into existence. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, that He might test you as to which of you is best indeed. Meaning all of this, Allah did not just create in vain. No, Allah created this heavens and the earth and put us on this earth, provided us with our provision, determined for us certain time on the earth. Why? Because He is testing us. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. So what does this mean then? That no enjoyment, no comfort, no pleasure of this life is reward. And no pain, hardship, discomfort in this life is punishment. Everything that happens, ease or difficulty, pain, hardship, comfort, joy, whatever that a person experiences in this life, food that he eats or food that he's depriving his body of, all of this is what? Bala. It is a trial. It is a test. Where is it that real enjoyment lies then? It is in Jannah. And where is it that real torture and pain lies then? It is in hellfire. Right now, our deeds are being examined. So what we should be most concerned about is what? Our actions. Because the food, the provision that is determined for us, it will come to us. And yes, we strive to get it. But we should strive even more in order to perform good deeds. Because this is why we were sent in this world for. When we live in this life, and we work in this life, the food that we eat, the money that we make, the things that we collect, the things that we collect, they stay behind. But the deeds that we have performed, these deeds, they go with us in our grave. وَلَئِنْ قُلْتَ إِنَّكُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِ الْمَوْتِ. But if you were to say, indeed, you are resurrected after death, those who disbelieve will surely say, this is not but obvious magic. And if we hold back from the punishment for a limited time, they will surely say, what detains it? Unquestionably, on the day it comes to them, it will not be averted from them, and they will be enveloped by what they used to ridicule. Today what happens? Many people follow their desires. Why? Because of the freedom that they have. But what we learn in this ayah is that very soon this freedom will also come to an end. وَلَئِنْ أَذَقُنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنَّا رَحْمَةً. And if we give man a taste of mercy from us, ثُمَّ نَزَعْنَاهَا, and then we withdraw it from him, إِنَّهُ لَيَأُوسٌ كَفُورٌ. Indeed he is despairing and ungrateful. Why is he despairing and ungrateful? When he suffers from hardship after ease, he thinks that this is the end of his life. He gives up hope. Why? Because he thought that ultimate joy was in worldly pleasures. And ultimate loss is about worldly loss. So people whose entire focus is this life, then what happens with them typically? That when they suffer from a hardship after some ease, they become extremely ungrateful, extremely despairing. But if we give him a taste of favor after hardship has touched him, he will surely say, bad times have left me. Meaning now, I am fine. I am so lucky. I am so fortunate. Indeed, he is exultant and boastful. Meaning at the loss of blessing, he is extremely sad and depressed. And on receiving something, he becomes extremely happy. What does this show? What his focus is in this life. We learned earlier in Surah Yunus that there are many who live this life as رَضُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. They are happy and content with this worldly life. They don't look for anything beyond this world. So for such a person who is dunya oriented, what happens? The loss of this life is absolute loss. And the joy of this loss, the comfort of this loss, is the gain of this life is the ultimate gain for him. And who can do this? The one who has forgotten that this life is a bala. This life is a test. And those who remember that this life is a test, Allah says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Except for those who are patient and do righteous deeds, those will have forgiveness and great reward. Meaning for every suffering, what is it that this person receives? Great reward. For every gain even, when he's grateful, what is it that he receives? Great reward. Why? Because he's being grateful at times of gain, and he's being patient at times of hardship. This person remembers that good is a test, a blessing is a test, and also that pain, hardship is a test. And real hardship is the hardship of hellfire. And real reward is that of Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ said that when Allah has decreed for a servant a rank which he has not attained by his action, meaning Allah has decided for a servant that he should reach a particular level near him. And what happens? The person is not able to reach that by his good deeds. Then what happens? Allah afflicts him in his body, or his property, or his children. He's made to test, he's made to suffer in his body, in his property, in his children. And then he enables him to endure that. So when he does sabr, why? So that Allah may bring him to the rank that Allah had previously decreed for him. Meaning he could not have reached that level just by his good deeds. So Allah puts him through hardship, and when he is patient, then he attains high levels in the sight of Allah. So what do we see? That hardships are merely an excuse in our lives. An excuse for what? To attain higher ranks. They're not for us to be depressed, to be sad. They are a chance for us to attain higher ranks. This is why a believer, the one who trusts in Allah, the one who's looking forward to Jannah, for him, for every calamity, for every gain, what does he say? رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا. I am pleased with Allah as my Lord. Then, would you possibly leave out some of what is revealed to you? Or is your breast constrained by it? Because they say, why has there not been sent down to him a treasure? Or come with him an angel? But you are only a warner. And Allah is disposer of all things. The Prophet ﷺ is being comforted over here. Or do they say, he invented it? Say, then bring 10 surahs like it that have been invented. And call upon for assistance whomever you can besides Allah, if you should be truthful. And if they do not respond to you, فَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا أُنزِلَ بِعِلْمِ اللَّهِ, then know that the Qur'an was revealed with the knowledge of Allah, and that there is no deity except Him. Then would you not be Muslims? من كان يريد الحياة الدنيا وزينتها. Whoever desires the life of this world and its adornments. Meaning he who only pursues the attractions of this world, the glitters of this world. نوفي إليهم أعمالهم فيها. We fully repay them for their deeds therein. Meaning in this world, they get what they strive for. In this life, they get what they strive for. وَهُمْ فِيهَا لَا يُبْخَسُونَ And they therein will not be deprived. Meaning Allah will give them much. Allah will give them many blessings. A lot of money. A lot of reasons to be happy. Good health, good food, entertainment, joy, all of this. Allah will fill their lives with it. However, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا النَّارِ Those are the ones for whom there is not in the hereafter but the fire. Why? Because they never desired Jannah. And when they never desire Jannah, then what will happen? In the hereafter, they will not get Jannah. Then where is it? What is the only other option left? Hellfire. And lost is what they did therein. Meaning whatever they did in this worldly life, it will be lost. Whatever they accumulated, whatever they collected in this dunya, it will be lost. Because when a person dies, then what happens? No matter how much money he has collected, can he take it with him in the grave? And even if he does, can it benefit him in afterlife? No. On the day of judgment, if a person were to offer the earth's fill in gold to ransom himself from the hellfire, will it be accepted? Never. So ضَلَّ عَنْهُمْ حَبِطَ مَا صَنَعُوا فِيهَا Whatever they acquired, whatever they earned, whatever they produced in the worldly life, it will be worthless. وَبَاطِلٌ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ And worthless is what they used to do. Why? Because it died in the world. In a hadith we learn that Salama radiallahu anha, she asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Ya Rasulullah, Hisham bin Mughira, he was a man from the time of Jahiliyyah, who died before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received prophethood. But this man was known for his generosity. He was known for his kindness towards people. So she said that this man used to join ties of kinship. He used to host and honor the guests. He used to free the slaves. He used to feed others. And if he were alive today, he would have accepted Islam. So the deeds that he performed, will they benefit him at all? The Prophet ﷺ said, no, for he gave it for dunya and its name and praise. Meaning whenever he did something good, he did it so that his name would become famous, or that he would leave a good impression on people, or that people would become happy. Those whom he was helping, they would become happy. So what happened? He got that. He never said even one day, he never said even one day, oh my Lord, forgive me my sin on the day of judgment. So when he never expected reward in the hereafter, will he be granted reward in the hereafter? No. Then it doesn't matter whether a person says that he believes in Allah, or that apparently he's doing something very beautiful, very righteous. If the intention is not there to please Allah, then it doesn't matter what is being performed. That deed will bring nothing. So what is necessary? That as we are performing our ibadah, we must expect reward from Allah. Let's do it sincerely for His sake, not to leave a good impression on others. So is one who stands upon a clear evidence from his Lord, like the aforementioned, and a witness from him follows it, and before it was the scripture of Musa to lead, and as a mercy, those believers in the former revelations believe in the Qur'an. But whoever disbelieves in it from the various factions, the fire is his promised destination. So be not in doubt about it. Indeed, it is the truth from your Lord. But most of the people do not believe. And who is more unjust than he who invents a lie about Allah? What does it mean by inventing a lie about Allah? Saying that Allah has said something while Allah has not said it. Saying that something is in the Qur'an, whereas it is nowhere in the Qur'an. Saying that Allah has declared something to be lawful, whereas Allah has not declared it to be lawful. Changing the law of Allah. These are all forms of lying about Allah. Such a person, he is most unjust. Those will be presented before their Lord. And the witnesses will say, these are the ones who lied against their Lord. And another form of lying against Allah is associating partners with Him. Saying that He has a child or that He has a partner when that is not the case. This is a lie about Allah. Unquestionably, the curse of Allah is upon the wrongdoers. Those who averted people from the way of Allah and sought to make it seem deviant while they, concerning the hereafter, were disbelievers. Those were not causing failure to Allah on earth, nor did they have besides Allah any protectors. For them, the punishment will be multiplied. They were not able to hear, nor did they see. Those are the ones who will have lost themselves, and lost from them is what they used to invent. Assuredly, it is they in the hereafter who will be the greatest losers. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَأَخْبَتُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Indeed, those who have believed and done righteous deeds and humbled themselves to their Lord. They're not just believing and performing righteous deeds, but they're doing it with humility for Allah. Seeking Allah, trying to please Him, realizing that they are needy of Allah, realizing that no matter how much has been performed, it is not sufficient. Allah deserves more than that. And those who, when they do good, they do it with humility, not with pride. So such people, those are the companions of paradise. They will abide eternally therein. Think about it. If someone were to serve you, but they do it very arrogantly, would you be grateful to them? No. And this is when we are in need of their service. Still, we will not be grateful to the person who serves us arrogantly. And this is when we are in need. We are needy. We are receiving. When we worship Allah, we're not benefiting Allah. We are only benefiting ourselves. So when a person performs a good deed with arrogance, or he does it with hesitation, or with a grudge, with dislike, then Allah has no need of his good deed. Allah has no need of it. And such a person, for his effort also, he will not be awarded any reward. Why? Because he didn't do it with humility. Because ibadah, Worship is about humility. The definition of ibadah is al-khudu' wa-tadallul. It is humility, submissiveness, showing yourself as small, as needy. So wa-akhbatu ila rabbihim. Those who humble themselves before Allah, they will reap the fruit, they will reap the benefits of ibadah. The example of the two parties is like the blind and the deaf, meaning those who believe and those who disbelieve. One is blind and deaf, and those who believe, they are seeing and hearing. Are they equal in comparison? Are they equal in comparison? Never. Then will you not remember? Then how can a person who is guided and a person who is misguided be the same? How can they be equal? How can a person who believes be the same as the one who does not believe? And how can these two people have the same end in the hereafter after death? It's not possible. Both live their lives differently, and both will have very different ends in the hereafter.